hyperspace. The parallel universe that has been the subject of the longest historical debate is one of higher dimensions. The fact that we live in three dimensions, length, width, height, is common sense. No matter how we move an object in space, all positions can be described by these three coordinates. In fact, with these three numbers, we can locate any object in the universe, from the tip of our noses to the most distant of all galaxies. A fourth spatial dimension seems to violate common sense. If smoke, for example, is allowed to fill up a room, we do not see the smoke disappearing into another dimension. Nowhere in our universe do we see objects suddenly disappearing or drifting off into another universe. This means that any higher dimensions, if they exist at all, must be smaller than an atom. Three spatial dimensions form the fundamental basis of Greek geometry. Aristotle, for example, in his essay On Heaven, wrote, "The line has magnitude in one way, the plane in two ways, and the solid in three ways. And beyond these, there is no other magnitude, because the three are all." In AD 150, Ptolemy of Alexandria offered first proof that higher dimensions were impossible. In his essay On Distance, he reasoned as follows. Draw three lines that are mutually perpendicular, like the lines forming the corner of a room. Clearly, he said, a fourth line perpendicular to the other three cannot be drawn. Hence, a fourth dimension must be impossible. What he actually proved was that our brains are incapable of visualizing the fourth dimension. The PC on your desk calculates in hyperspace all the time. For 2,000 years, any mathematician who dared to speak of the fourth dimension potentially suffered ridicule. In 1685, mathematician John Wallace polemicized against the fourth dimension, calling it a monster in nature, less possible than a chimera or centaur. In the 19th century, Carl Gauss, the prince of mathematicians, worked out much of the mathematics of the fourth dimension, but was afraid to publish because of the backlash it would cause. But privately, Gauss conducted experiments to test whether flat, three-dimensional Greek geometry really described the universe. In one experiment, he placed his assistants on three mountaintops. Each one had a lantern, thereby forming a huge triangle. Gauss then measured the angles of each corner of the triangle. To his disappointment, he found that the interior angles all summed up to 180 degrees. He concluded that if there were deviations to standard Greek geometry, they must be so small that they could not be detected with his lanterns. Gauss left it to his student, Georg Bernhard Riemann, to write down the fundamental mathematics of higher dimensions, which were then imported wholesale decades later into Einstein's theory of general relativity. In one powerful sweep, in a celebrated lecture Riemann delivered in 1854, he overthrew 2,000 years of Greek geometry and established the basic mathematics of the higher curved dimensions that we use even today. After Riemann's remarkable discovery was popularized in Europe in the late 1800s, the fourth dimension became quite a sensation among artists, musicians, writers, philosophers, and painters. Picasso's Cubism, in fact, was partly inspired by the fourth dimension, according to art historian Linda Dalrymple Henderson. Picasso's paintings of women with eyes facing forward and nose to the side was an attempt to visualize a fourth-dimensional perspective. Since one looking down from the fourth dimension could see a woman's face, nose, and the back of her head simultaneously. Henderson writes, "Like a black hole, the fourth dimension possessed mysterious qualities that could not be completely understood, even by the scientists themselves. Yet the impact of the fourth dimension was far more comprehensive than that of black holes or any other more recent scientific hypothesis except relativity theory after 1919. Other painters drew from the fourth dimension as well. In Salvador Dali's Christus Hypercubius, Christ is crucified in front of a strange floating three-dimensional cross, which is actually a tesseract, an unraveled four-dimensional cube. In his famous Persistence of Memory, He attempted to represent time as the fourth dimension, and hence the metaphor of melted clocks. Marcel Duchamp's Nude Descending a Staircase was an attempt to represent time as the fourth dimension by capturing the time-lapse motion of a nude walking down a staircase. The fourth dimension even pops up in a story by Oscar Wilde, The Canterville Ghost, in which a ghost haunting a house lives in the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension also appears in several of H.G. Wells' works, including The Invisible Man, The Plattner Story, and The Wonderful Visit. In the latter, which has since been the basis of scores of Hollywood movies and science fiction novels, our universe somehow collides with a parallel universe. A poor angel from the other universe falls into our universe after being accidentally shot by a hunter. Horrified by all the greed, pettiness, and selfishness of our universe, the angel eventually commits suicide. The idea of parallel universes was also explored tongue-in-cheek by Robert Heinlein in The Number of the Beast. Heinlein imagines a group of four brave individuals who romp across parallel universes in a mad professor's interdimensional sports car. In the TV series Sliders, a young boy reads a book and gets the inspiration to build a machine that would allow him to slide between parallel universes. The book that the young boy was reading was actually my book, Hyperspace. But historically, the fourth dimension has been considered a mere curiosity by physicists. No evidence has ever been found for higher dimensions. This began to change in 1919 when physicist Theodore Kaluza wrote a highly controversial paper that hinted at the presence of higher dimensions. He started with Einstein's theory of general relativity, but placed it in five dimensions, one dimension of time and four dimensions of space. Since time is a fourth space-time dimension, physicists now refer to the fourth spatial dimension as the fifth dimension. If the fifth dimension were made smaller and smaller, the equations magically split into two pieces. One piece describes Einstein's standard theory of relativity, but the other piece becomes Maxwell's theory of light. This was a stunning revelation. Perhaps the secret of light lies in the fifth dimension. Einstein himself was shocked by this solution, which seemed to provide an elegant unification of light and gravity. Einstein was so shaken by Kaluza's proposal that he mulled it over for 2 years before finally agreeing to have this paper published. Einstein wrote to Kaluza, "The idea of achieving a unified theory by means of a five-dimensional cylinder world never dawned on me. At first glance, I liked your idea enormously. The formal unity of your theory is startling." For years, physicists had asked the question, if light is a wave, then what is waving? Light can pass through billions of light years of empty space, but empty space is a vacuum, devoid of any material. So what is waving in the vacuum? With Kaluza's theory, we had a concrete proposal to answer this problem. Light is ripples in the fifth dimension. Maxwell's equations, which accurately describe all the properties of light, emerge simply as the equations for waves traveling in the fifth dimension. Imagine fish swimming in a shallow pond. They might never suspect the presence of a third dimension because their eyes point to the side, and they can only swim forward and backward, left and right. A third dimension to them might appear impossible. But then imagine it rains on the pond. Although they cannot see the third dimension, they can clearly see the shadows of the ripples on the surface of the pond. In the same way, Kaluza's theory explained light as ripples traveling on the fifth dimension. Kaluza also gave an answer as to where the fifth dimension was. Since we see no evidence of a fifth dimension, it must have curled up so small that it cannot be observed. Imagine taking a two-dimensional sheet of paper and rolling it up tightly into a cylinder. From a distance, the cylinder looks like a one-dimensional line. In this way, a two-dimensional object has been turned into a one-dimensional object by curling it up. Kaluza's paper initially created a sensation. But in the coming years, objections were found to his theory. What was the size of this new fifth dimension? How did it curl up? No answers could be found. For decades, Einstein would work on this theory in fits and starts. After he passed away in 1955, the theory was soon forgotten, becoming just a strange footnote to the evolution of physics.